don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
I want it. Can't stop, won't stop. Yes,
Carnell.
Love it. Don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
Yes, Dad.
What, cut off that damn TV show watching that ignorant ass shit? Got you messing up your homework, damn mixture show niggas. Making black folks look like damn fools. Talking about I love it. If it was your damn timetables, would you love that? How about loving some long division, nigga? Can't stop, won't stop bringing these damn L's home on your fucking report card. And somebody get the damn phone. Damn, I pay the bills. Can somebody at least answer the phone?
Then I got it. Hello? It's for you.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 10 of the report. Now, as you know, this show does contain an explicit tag on it for my propensity to say fuck, shit, asshole, and other incongruous words and phrases that totally belies my jovial nature. So get your badass kids out of the room when you're listening to this shit, alright? But before we get started, I wanted to bring you guys up to speed on an announcement I made on Twitter about changes coming to the Span Report. Nah, it won't be no host change, hoaxes, and no shit like that. And no, the format of the show won't be changed neither. The only significant, you know, change to this show will be the length of the shows. Part of the reason that I haven't been able to bring you guys a, you know, a podcast on a more consistent basis is because of the amount of work and time it takes for me to bring you guys a 1 hour podcast. Most of my podcasts are done over the course, you know, the course of a whole day. Usually a Sunday where I do nothing else but the podcast. And for that 1 hour show you get, it's usually about 10 to 12 hours of work that went into the production of that podcast. Now, don't get me wrong. I love doing it. But actually having the time to sit my ass down and record has been a challenge with the new job I got. You know, I told you guys about a few episodes ago and the 12-hour shifts that I've been putting in there. So I'm going to shorten the length of the show so that you still get the same quality of podcast that you come to expect. They'll just be shorter but more consistent. And of course, when I have guests, the shows will run a little longer. And I want to give a special shout out to Desmond Hill and Luke Chaudhry, I think, for staying on my head about getting out a new episode. Again, I appreciate all of you guys for your continued support for this podcast. We're going to get what we need to be real soon. Now that that's out the way, let's get into today's show. I'm going to touch on this whole V-Nasty thing, the chick from the white girl mob and her use of the word nigga. Lil B finally released his I'm Gay album to less than lackluster sales. And also, this Alan Heller kid just don't know when to shut the fuck up and leave shit alone. I'll tell y'all about that shit. And I went to a high school reunion picnic, and of course, raggedy niggas fucked that all up. I got some listener feedback to respond to, and I just got some other random shit that's been on my mind lately. And I'm feeling a little retro today, so all of the music that you'll hear in this episode is going to be some shit from back in the day. So let's get into it, fam. Real talk, all the time, here on the Span Report Podcast.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room staring at candles. Are we on the radio, dudes? Well, give it to me. Yeah. At night I can't sleep, I'm tossing and turning. I still got the candlesticks burning. It ain't changed, but it's a different time. And I'm still playing tricks with my mind. My mother's always stressing that I'm living wrong. But I got my Smith & Wesson cause I'm getting grown. And they're looking at your little boy's success. And I've been thinking, I'm dealing with too much stress. So I stay up on my P's and Q's. And watch out for the G's and fools. Cause the homies that I thought I had see me stacking up a grip. And they just started talking back. So I stay away from outsiders. And when I roll through, it makes them open their mouth wider. I used to think that you was my one and only homie. My mind was playing tricks on me. My mind was playing tricks on me. Yeah. Let's get up. Dear Diary, I'm having a little problem with my mind state. How many bullets would it take to change my mind? Wait, sometimes I wanna end it, but I don't though. They tell me see my pastor, but I don't go. Cause they all be on this one street. So I take it on myself to thank him one deep. and give my money to the most needy, and never put it in the hands of the most greedy, cause they're putting a price tag on the man's worth, and it's a fashion show, so the men flirt. The world is ending, so they try to make a switch fast, and they opening up these churches for some quick cash, and using the money for their new cribs, while Brother Johnson just got kicked out where he lived. I follow no man, cause man beat folk. My mom was playing tricks on me. My mama's playing tricks on me. Yeah. Day by day it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't seem to keep my mind on a steady track. I'm all about getting mine, so I study that. But it seems they want to get, so I try to keep my 9mm width, just in case they want to see your homie's head flown. But I gotta stay around to see my kids grown. I finally found a woman who could deal with me. Back then I had a girl who wasn't real with me, and now she's back with her old lady. And now I got it going on, and they show hate me. Now I'm gone and she's alone. Yeah, her mom was playing tricks on her. One time for your motherfucking mind. Bringing it back like this here. 1991 one all the way to the 1994, and they call me Face. Yeah, mom was playing tricks on me.
Yeah, man. Had to go with a little bit of Scarface to kick things off. That was Mind Playing Tricks on Me 94 off of his Diary album, so you know what to do. Speaking of Scarface, though, it's past 4th of July. I was kicking it with some of my peoples about rap and rappers and shit. You know, just sitting around having some brews, eating some hot dogs and hamburgers and shit. And I said that Scarface is one of my favorite three rappers to come out of the South. So when I said that, instantly niggas wanted to know who was my other two, which were Andre 3000 and CeeLo when he was still with the Goody Mob. Now, of course, there were some teenagers there, and one of them foolishly asked me, "What about Gucci Mane?" Silly kid. Now, I know his frame of reference is a little limited, so I didn't clown him too much. I just told him that I thought Gucci's music was a little bit like Dookie on the Street. It just sits there and it stinks. But what surprised me is when this kid's pops came out of his mouth with, "Master P was one of the best rappers to come out of the South." Yeah, I couldn't believe that shit either. And at first I thought he was joking, but he was adamant about that shit. And of course he fell into the whole argument about album sales and how much money these dudes was making. You know, with No Limit Records being one of the top selling record labels at the time. Which is a bullshit argument, because I've said plenty of times before, crack sold a hell of a lot of product too. That didn't make the shit good. Hell, Master P wasn't even the best rapper on his label, let alone the best to come out of the South. I was just surprised this 40-year-old dude was sitting there trying to make the best rapper argument comparing this shit. Nigga, I'm the kernel of the motherfucking tank. Y'all have the big things, we have the big bank. Third world husband, soldiers and kind ass combat, the dealers and killers. We true that. Never gave a fuck about no hoes on our riches. And niggas come shop, I'm digging dishes. If we pull a strike, commander in chief. If fools run up wrong, nigga, I'm knocking out some teeth. I'm down here slanging, rolling with these hustlers, trying to get rid of you haters and you busters. Stepping on toes, breaking niggas' nose. In the project, bigger than the dango. To this.
I met a gypsy and she hit me to some life game to stimulate and activate the left and right brain. Say, baby boy, your only phone can add your last cut. You focus on the past, your ass will be your has what. That's what you live by, or either that's what you die to. I try to just throw it at you, determine your own adventure, Andre. Got to a station, here's my destination. She got off the bus, the conversation lingered in my head for hours. Took a shower, kinda sour, cause my favorite group ain't coming with it. But I'm with you cause you're probably going through it anyway. But anyhow, went and died, went on out and bought it, cause I thought it would be jamming. But examine all the flaws, get walls, get off lit. Sand and it's costly, but that's all shit. Bro, and I hope I never have to float in that boat. Up Shit's Creek, it's sweet, it's the last quote that I wanna hear when I'm going down. When all said and done and we got a new Joe in town. When the record player get to skipping and slowing down. All y'all can say is them niggas earn their crown. But
now, as you can see, lyrically, they not even on the same level. And we were talking about my favorite rappers to come out of the South. And Master P wouldn't even make my top 20. But we were talking about best rappers, not how much money they made. Of course, all of these things are subjective anyway. People like what they like. But to sit and talk about best rappers and the only thing you can say is your favorite rapper sold more records, but you can't even vouch for his ability of lyrical delivery, that argument is always going to fall on deaf ears with me. His old ass should have known better. But then again, this is the same dude that says if given the same amount of money, NBA players would rather play in Detroit than LA. This dude just likes to argue straight up. But we coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, we still got this V-Nasty chick to talk about. We got Alan Heller's little bitch ass to talk about. Lil B's I'm Gay album sales. And my trip to the Cooley High School alumni picnic. Plenty more show to come, so stick around.
Es tan bueno saber que tú te sientes igual. Vamos a hacer esta noche especial, papi, papi.
I love you, baby.
Nada más tú y yo. Te amo, yo.
Yeah, man. That was Jodeci with You and I off of their Forever My Lady album. You know, that shit came out when I was in like 6th or 7th grade or something like that. You remember sitting on the phone with your girlfriend you was all in love with for the grand total of 6 days with shit like that playing in the background like you just always had some slow shit playing? Or, you know, you'll play some shit and be like, yeah, girl, why don't you listen to this real quick? You know, this song will say what I'm feeling better than I ever will. Wait a minute. The fuck y'all laughing at? I know I ain't the only dude that was rocking the slow jams at 12 because my pimp gang was lacking a little bit. Man, fuck y'all, man. It's supposed to be my peoples and shit. Here I am being all nostalgic and shit, and this how y'all gonna do me. Don't worry about it, though. It's cool. We still cool. But anyway, let's get off of my lack of pimp knowledge and game at 12 years old and get into some other shit. Specifically, this V-Nasty chick from the quote-unquote white girl mob. Now, I haven't been up on my hip-hop as much lately, but apparently there's this little clique of white chicks who rap and use the word nigga quite frequently. Here's this chick, V-Nasty, quote-unquote addressing the people that, you know, question her use of the word nigga.
Really feel about these motherfuckers talking about why is V Nasty white and she said the N-word. Y'all motherfuckers ain't never walk in my shoes, bro. Y'all ain't never seen where I came from. How the ugly how shit be, bro. That shit be hella fake, motherfuckers always asking Krayshawn, oh, why you gotta say nigga? Is it a fucking race? Am I offending people? Am I saying in a disrespectful type of way? You feel me, though? Y'all mad at that. Y'all need to be mad at this. I'm about to drop on y'all ass then, you fucking haters. What the fuck? I'm just doing me. Don't be mad at me because I'm doing me. I'll be trying to change up my vocabulary because I'm on and I got out the hood. Feel me? I'm looking at comments, motherfuckers talking about why she trying to act like and woo-woo. And she trying to do this and that because she's trying to act black. How can you act a race? Is Obama trying to act white? Just please, just tell me, like, what y'all talking about? Like, y'all ain't making no points to me. You feel me? Like, I don't understand because that's not how it is where I came up. You feel me? So y'all motherfuckers need to stop that hating ass shit. Start, you feel me, looking into V Nasty because I'm the realest out right now. You feel me? And we really putting on for this white girl mind shit. And these motherfuckers just is not ready, though. And y'all fucking mad. And I'm fucking y'all minds up. Watch y'all just watch when I drop my album. Watch when I drop my album.
Watch when I drop that.
Do I know you? Because you hating on me, I don't even know you. So you're a nobody. Hello, duh.
What you know about that white girl, my? Got them hating, but they watching.
Okay, now, right off the top, she sounds like a lot of rats that I know from the hood. Her skin tone is just a little lighter than the other ones, but this chip 2 bitch actually had the nerve to say, y'all ain't never walked a mile in my shoes. Oh, really? Do you really think that most of the opposition coming your way about your use of the word nigga is coming to you from the white community? You're talking to a gang of black folks, using an art form that sprang out from the communities of poor, mostly minority peoples of both African and Latin descent, but these people have never walked in your shoes. Yeah, okay. I guess the fact that you've been arrested for armed robbery gives you the hood pass and the golden use of the word nigga. I guess the fact that you grew up in the Oakland ghettos gives you license to use it as often as you do. I guess the bum-ass niggas that you hang out with that see no problem with you being a down-ass bitch that's speaking on some quote-unquote real nigga shit is all the license you need. This shit almost reminds me of a job I used to have a few years ago. Your man Span used to be... Shit, for all intents and purposes, I was a janitor at a restaurant owned by a pretty rich Middle Eastern family here in Detroit. And me and the owner, Ahmed, got along relatively well until one day I was on break and I was reading a book by Randall Kennedy entitled Nigga, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. And Ahmed came to me and asked me what the book was about, and I was trying to explain to him real quickly that it was about the history of the word and the complexities and cultural changes that the word had taken on over the years. So Ahmed sees it as an opportunity to do a little confessing and says to me that he uses the word quite frequently when he's playing Xbox, and that he would love for our working relationship to get to the point where he can call me his nigga with no animosity or negative feelings between us. Yeah. I sat there for a minute, dumbfounded. And then I asked him, how would you like it if I called you my Arab? Which I knew was a term that they didn't particularly like. I mean, I would hear Ahmed's uncle, Yuhia, say all the time, stop acting like an Arab. You know, while I was in the back slicing tomatoes and lettuce and shit, or, you know, mopping the floor or something. To them, that was an insult. So Ahmed turns to me and he's like, why would you want to say that? To which I replied, what makes you think that I would be cool with you calling me yo nigga? Never mind the fact that you aren't black and we don't share the same cultural experiences, but the fact that I'm essentially employed by you and working for you, that isn't exactly the most endearing term of friendship between us that you could use. How about if you really felt that we were cool like that, then you would say my friend as opposed to my nigga. Or better yet, how about you go ask the white girl behind the Starbucks counter whom you just promoted to manager if you can call her your cracker. I didn't quit that day, because no matter how pissed off I was, I still had a woman and a baby at home, and quitting wasn't going to keep a roof over our heads, nor would it keep food on the table. And here I was, a college-educated man, getting paid $6 an hour to essentially be a janitor at this Middle Eastern restaurant where the ownership thought it would be cool to call me nigga. Luckily, another job was coming and I wouldn't be there too much longer after that. Be that as it may, when it comes to this V-nasty chick, when I look at her, I look at her with the same way I look at all rats, with disdain and disgust. Now, of course, if you listen to this podcast, I do use the word frequently, and honestly, I think I sometimes use the word a bit too much. And honestly, if the black people in this hood rat circle don't mind her calling them nigga, then by all means, she can say it to them. Prefer to act as if the world is supposed to embrace her use of the word, or her lifting up her ghetto roots as a license, and black folks who aren't in her circle are supposed to just act like everything is okay, only shows her lack of understanding of the complexities of the culture that she's supposedly embracing. You're embracing the worst of the culture doesn't make you real. Many people like myself who've been shot at and had friends shot in front of them, who've had the police rolled up on them while they were 11 years old, playing basketball on the street, only to have the Detroit police, you know, the SWAT team, roll up on their asses and put a 12-gauge shotgun to their heads and say to them, see if you can outrun this bullet, who've had friends that they've grown up with killed or locked up as a result of hood living. You know, we don't exactly look at that shit as a badge of honor. A lot of us look at it as a blessing to have escaped that environment to some degree. About the only thing that I can give this broad credit for is becoming yet another example of the fact that black folks don't have a monopoly on this ignorant motherfucker trend. Ignorance knows no colors. And this venereal disease chick is a prime example of that shit. And miss me with this hater bullshit. Everybody that don't co-sign in your fucking stupidity ain't hating on your stupid ass. We coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, we got another culturally confused dipshit to talk about by the name of Alan Heller, my trip to the Cooley High alumni picnic, and, you know, plenty more shit to talk about. So stick around.
Living day by day in my hood on the spot. See the same old thing, same dope fiends, cops. Just the average day in the streets, California. 5-0, find a young girl dead around the corner. Mommy's on her knees, she had tears in her eyes. And her body knew why the young girl had to die. People look ashamed, it's been like this for years. Bloody sheets on her body, face wet from her mommy's tears. She couldn't have been over 4 or 5. And if mommy wasn't baked, she would still be alive. But now the street is a place, she could be swallowed by death. Brothers taking each other's lives and going to rest in peace. I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. My cousin died last year and I still can't let go. I walk the streets of my city, of my neighborhood, seeing dope fiends living off canned goods. 15 niggas on the corner, and niggas die young in California. 5-0 get a dope case and flaunt it. Have your ass on America's most wanted. But I don't slang or either gangbang, and though my old school homies do the same thing, I still got love, cause you gotta live so you can give and raise a family, G. But you gotta do your best slanging D-O-P-E. So keep a grip on yourself and stay mellow. And welcome to the ghetto. Is a 9mm gat. I think about genocide and have thoughts on my homies who died. Everybody backstabbing, but I ain't the one to talk. I'm in the gaffer. Death give a shit about your color, but yet I see more dead young brothers. I'm going crazy out here, seeing 24 brothers die by the end of the year. And I still gotta deal with the 5-0
and I stopped selling dope in 9-0. But if it came to it, I'd probably still do it. Put a 9 in my drawers, get straight to it. I hope that I never see the day that I get 20 years for a cake. BK8 as a key to open up the dough for the more money. But I ain't gotta do that, G, cause I'm down with the F-A to the C, to the U, to the L-T-Y, G-Nut, extra large, and S-P-I, C-E, making niggas feel like Jella, and welcome to the ghetto.
Yeah, man, I had to pull that shit out from obscurity. I ain't heard no Spice One in shit like forever. That was Welcome to the Ghetto off of his self-titled debut album. Now, true enough, Spice One wasn't the dopest lyricist by any stretch of the imagination at the time. I would get that one to Rakim, but I definitely used to bang this shit back in the day. Funny thing is, I hadn't even thought about Spice One until I saw some chatter about him on Twitter a few days back. Figured I'd play that here, since, you know, basically the song seemed appropriate for the time. Now, I left off the last segment talking about that V Nasty broad and her cultural confusion. But now I want to talk about this little pissant Allen Heller. Now, if any of you are unaware, Allen Heller was a kid that was being bullied at the Tuskegee University. You know, he was basically being bullied and they videotaped him outside of his dorm room while he was having a fucking psychotic breakdown. Now, for the purposes of time, just go to thespanreport.com and check out episode 8, where you can see the video of him losing his damn mind. Now, following this release of that video, this little shit put out a video of his own where he's supposedly explaining what happened in the first video, but at the same time taking unwarranted shots at historically black colleges and universities and trumpeting the inherent greatness of, you know, his ability to now attend a predominantly white university. Now, I spoke about this issue on episode 8 of the Span Report podcast, and I pretty much washed my hands of the entire thing. I spoke about the conversation that was had on the, you know, on Dark Haters' Facebook wall with Allen Heller, and what I thought about the situation based on the knowledge that I had about it at the time. And later on, after this little shit went on the Haterazzi radio show, backing off of a lot of what he said in his video about the viability and the need for HBCUs, he sent me an unsolicited apology on Facebook. Now, I was just chalking this shit up as a confused kid who didn't know where he fit in this world. But apparently this Allen Heller kid is a bit of a troll. Because right after I saw his video on Dark Haters Wall, I was on YouTube and I had saw some response videos where I basically said the same thing that I said on Haters Wall, that this kid was a bit of an asshole, and that's probably why people were fucking with him the way that they were at his school. And then the shit brick actually had the nerve to say to me a few weeks later, after the whole thing had died down, that I could have said that to him and not on this response video, as if I was supposed to be scared of his bitch ass. Now let's get something straight right now. What I said on this other lady's video was the exact same shit that I said to him on Dark Haters Wall. You're an asshole, dude. Secondly, after a little bit of back and forth, he tried to act as if he was confused on who he was talking to. Dude, my name is Span everywhere. It's Mr. Span on Twitter and on the Haterazzi radio show. It's Span TV on YouTube, the Span Report podcast, and thespanreport.com. My name ain't exactly the most common fucking last name in the world. You knew who the fuck you was talking to. My beef had more to do with your undying need to be accepted by white folks while at the same time shitting on black folks and the institution that helped black folks get to positions that they would not have had the opportunity to get to otherwise. So while you're trumpeting the greatness of all these white schools, how about your weasel dick ass acknowledge that Oprah Winfrey, the most powerful and richest woman in media, was a product of a fucking HBCU, Tennessee State University to be exact. How about one of the people that actually fought for your sheer ability to attend that predominantly white school that you love so much was also a product of an HBCU, with Martin Luther King being an alumni of Morehouse College. But you know what's funny, you little bitch? Is that once your white classmates begin to see just how much of a colostomy bag you really are as a person, hell, they might not want to fuck with your bitch ass either. Just ask that Jared Loughner kid. Your incessant need to be accepted by white folks, while at the same time shunning black folks, kind of reminds me of...
I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love.
Needless to say, I would almost like to think you was kind of lucky it was a camera there when you spazzed the fuck out. Had it not, you probably would have got the brakes beaten off your ass that night. Nobody thinks you're scary, dude. Not while you breaking your own shit. You just look fucking stupid. And you can't use your shit that you broke after breaking it trying to look tough, dumbass. And nobody is intimidated by your use of big words that you inappropriately use because they have absolutely nothing to do with what you're saying in your feeble attempt to appear smart. Now, after a while, I was beginning to feel sorry for you. Now, I'm feeling like your mother should have swallowed your suck booty ass instead of having you. I feel better now. I needed that release. And it's time for the next musical break. But when I return, I still got to tell y'all about my visit to the Cooley High School alumni picnic, and I got some listener feedback, and we're going to wrap up the show, so stick around.
Just, why does he do it that way?
Yeah, man. That's my shit right there. When I was a kid, Michael Jackson was that dude. I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old, my mom's bought me and my little brother that Thriller jacket. I had the black one with the red trim, and my brother had the red one with the black trim. We had the leather pants to go with that shit. You couldn't tell me I wasn't doing it. Hell, sometimes my mom used to let me dress myself. You know, let me pick out what I was going to wear to school. And that's not exactly the kind of power I would recommend giving a 6-year-old boy. Looking back, I wonder what the fuck my mama was thinking about. Shit, one day I went out to school with a red sweater with yellow, blue, and green stripes on it with some camouflage pants that I liked to wear because I liked all the pockets and shit. I could put all my Hot Wheel cars in there. And then I had these brown cowboy boots that I just thought they was a shit. I thought I was styling in them. Plus, I had my little afro popping off. Now, keep in mind, this is like 1985 or 86. I was still styling, yet a little bit too young to get that Jerry curl like Mike. But top that off with the black and red Thriller jacket, I was the fucking man. At least I thought so. Man, I got clowned so hard when I was walking to school. Well, you know, back when you could still let your 6-year-old walk 5 blocks away from the crib alone to go to school. Man, they was clowning me, though. But the funny thing is, I'm 6 years old. I didn't know these punk-ass fifth graders was talking shit about me. I'm thinking I'm the man. I love that damn Thriller jacket, though. I got jacked for that motherfucker, too, though. And the funny thing is, I didn't even know I was getting jacked for it. One night, me, my cousin Nick, and my Uncle Londo, we was walking home from a family function, and I remember we walked into a liquor store. My uncle asked me to take off my jacket and put it on put it in the corner over by this old English 800 sign. I never saw my jacket again, and for the longest time, I never knew why he asked me to do that shit. Until about 15 years later, my aunt tells me that some dude put the tool to his ass, telling him to give up the jacket. Yes, them shits was that hot. 6-year-olds were being jacked for their Michael Jackson jackets. Crazy, ain't it? Michael Jackson was just that dude back in the day, though, man. But here I am again, being all nostalgic and shit, talking about the old days, which kind of goes right into my next topic. Cooley High School Alumni Picnic. Me and one of my boys went to this picnic. You know, he graduated from there, and I attended there my first 2 years of high school before moving back to Chicago. And when we got there, the first thing you notice is that it's hot as hell that day. And secondly, there's a lot of scantily clad rats in abundance. And of course, you know, all of them wasn't rats. It was some badass women there, too. You know, but my boy, you know, he a smooth-talking ass motherfucker on some, you know, on his old Casanova, I'm about to get these chicks type shit. He was on his Jimmy the Saint game right that night.
Dagny, that's your name? Tremendous name. My name is Jimmy. And I just have one simple impulsive question. Are you in love?
What?
At the present time, are you in love?
Why?
Because if you are, then I won't waste your time. I'm really not the type of man to impede another man's happiness. However, if you're not presently in love, then I will continue my rhapsody, because if I may say so, Dagny, you are most definitely the bee's knees.
Yeah, man. Oh, smooth-ass nigga. Now, anyway, while my homie is batting off chicks left and right, here we are. We just basically still scoping the scene. But when we first got there, we really didn't have anywhere to escape the sun, because like I said, it was hot as shit that day. But we saw this tent with this little raggedy-ass table up under it, and we just went there for a second so that he could make himself a drink, and I could pull out one of my trusty Bud Light Limes. And from out of nowhere, I swear, the most cliche hood rat chick you ever did meet came up on us. About 5'7", 220 pounds, blonde weave, hair, eyebrows dyed blonde, lip pierced, and about 20 or 30 of the worst basement tattoos I ever saw came rolling up on us with her neck rolling and everything.
Who told y'all could put y'all shit on my table?
But before I can get anything out of my mouth, my Casanova-ass homeboy hit her with the,
"Are you in love?"
And by the time he got finished talking to her, she was gushing about how much he remembered him from high school and all this other shit. Oh, and we can stay at the table. Good thing he spoke to her and I didn't. But anyway, we got to walking around the picnic, catching up with old friends and watching old enemies and shit. And one thing we started to notice was this. When you're immersed in a bad environment, you aren't really aware of how bad shit really is until you're able to leave that situation, experience something else, and then come back to realize how bad shit really was. I never thought I would see the day where I would see a pack of women with pretty much the entire makeup of that chick I just told y'all about earlier, circling around that picnic in packs, smoking blunts no less. The packs of skinny niggas walking around with no shirt on to show off their tattoos with their pants hanging off their ass, I was, shockingly enough, not surprised to see. But then you think about it. This is how they got down in high school. And a lot of them never were able to graduate mentally from that environment. There was another coolie function that I had attended earlier in the year, where this one dude was arguing with this other guy about how popular he was in high school. Going on and on, saying shit like, "Dude, you was fucking nobody at Cooley. Nobody was riding with you like that. You was nobody." And I'm looking at this dude like, "Nigga, aren't you 30? What the fuck does someone's popularity at 14 or 15 have to do with what's going on right now at 30 years old?" He sounded like the hood version of Al Bundy, who keeps reminding people of his 4 touchdowns in a single game at Polk High. Now, the sad reality is, for a lot of people, high school was the pinnacle of life for them. They were never looked at the same way again after graduation day, and for some of them, they never even fucking graduated. Some of them never went on to do anything meaningful after high school, while others went on to do great things, got married, have kids, got great careers. And it was these people that are stuck in this time warp that I always wonder about. And then I started to wonder if these annual picnics were really just a way for people to hold on to their high school personas. I mean, I'm starting to see now why you only have like 10 and 15 and 20 year class reunions. Hell, give people some time to miss your ass and give you some time to have something interesting happen to you, like maybe win the lottery, maybe get a job, I mean something. Now, that's not to say that things were all bad. I mean, I got a chance to see some people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I spoke to them even if I didn't remember their names. I'm better with faces. And I got a chance to do something other than work. So it was cool, other than the abundance of rats and paper thugs. Until right after me and my boy left, and niggas shot up the picnic. 5 people were shot, ranging in ages from 15 to, I think they said, like 45. Now, I don't know what started the fight that led to the shooting, nor do I give a fuck. I'm just sick of raggedy-ass, coward motherfuckers who come to a picnic full of women and children to start a fight that ultimately ends up in you pulling out a gun and shooting 5 people, some of which more than likely had absolutely nothing to do with whatever the fuck you were shooting about. But then again, the sad thing is, when I heard about this, I wasn't surprised. I'm never surprised by shit like that anymore. It's almost like I said back on the 4th of July when people are lighting their fireworks. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between that and when somebody's shooting their guns. And I become so desensitized to hearing that shit that I don't even flinch anymore. We gotta do better, people. Being the walking personification of every negative stereotype of hood living is not something to aspire to. It doesn't make you a legend. It just makes you an extreme waste of talent and potential. But then again, who am I kidding? The people that really need to hear this will never listen to this podcast. We're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I got some listener feedback to get to, and we're going to wrap up the show. So stick around.
Hey, yo, what's up? Let's keep it real, son. Count this money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, yo, put the grants over there in the safe, you know what I'm saying? Because we spending these Jacksons. The Washingtons go to wifey, you know how that go.
I'm saying, that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? What?
Visualizing the realism of life in actuality. Fuck who's the baddest, the person status depends on salary. And my mentality is money orientated. I'm destined to live the dream for all my peeps who never made it. Cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as proper sinners. But something must have got in us, cause all of us turned to sinners. Now some resting in peace and some are sitting in San Quentin. Others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition, keeping this rough of us and street ghetto essence inside us. Cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us. Even though we know somehow we all gotta go, but as long as we leave and thieving, we'll be leaving with some kind of dose. So into that day we expire and turn to vapors. Me and my capers, I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers. Keeping it real, packing still, getting high. Cause life's a bitch and then you die. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly.
I woke up early on my born day. I'm 20, it's a blessing. The essence of adolescence leaves my body now freshened. My physical frame is celebrated cause I made it. One quarter through life, some godly like thing created. Got rhymes, 360 5 days annual plus some. Load up the mic and bust one. Cuss while I puss from my skull, cause it's pain in my brain vein. Money maintained, no go against the grain, simple and plain. When I was younger, this I used to do my thing hard. Robbing foreigners, take their wallets, they jewels, and rip their green cards. Dip to the projects, flashing my quick cash, and got my first piece of ass smoking blunts with hash. Now it's all about cash in abundance. Niggas I used to run with is rich, are doing years in the hundreds. I switched my motto. Instead of saying fuck tomorrow, that buck that bought a bottle could have struck the lotto. Once I stood on the block, loose cracks, produced stacks. I cooked up and cut small pieces to get my loot back. Time is ill-matic, keep static like wool fabric. Pack a formatic to crack your whole cabbage.
Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die.
Yeah, man, that's some old classic Nas shit right there. That was Life's a Bitch with AZ off of Nas' Illmatic album. Good shit right there. But you know who I think is really thinking about life being a bitch right now? That dude Lil B. Remember a couple months back, Lil B made headlines all over the place because he decided to name his upcoming album I'm Gay. Well, the album finally dropped. And after all that publicity he got for that project, guess how many records he sold for his week? Go on, guess. Alright, I'll tell you. 1,500 copies. Yep, his shit went semi-cardboard on the charts. And good for his lying publicity-seeking ass. Talking about people were sending him death threats because of what he named the album and trying to set himself up as a martyr and shit. People saw right through that bullshit. And I wonder how many of those 1,500 copies he brought up was, you know, were brought up by his label, pretty much. I don't think anybody really bought that many copies of that shit. It's good for his yuck mouth looking ass anyway. Now let's get to this listener feedback real quick. And it's going to be quick because I didn't get that much. But I got an email from the homies Big D and Whitfield from the Regular Cat Radio podcast. And this was in response to the situation I presented to you guys back in episode 8. About the lesbian couple whom were having a child, but the stud in the relationship was threatening to leave if the baby wasn't given her last name. So let me read what these brothers had to say. It looks to me that regardless of how the stud in the relationship feels about this whole issue, she has unwittingly found herself face to face with the ugly truth that pretty much falls in line with the role that she's been portraying during her time as a stud. And that's the role of the absent father with no rights. When I was a young cat and the baby mama had my son, I was there for him 25 hours a day. But as far as the courts were concerned, I was just another absent deadbeat because we weren't married. And that's something that every unmarried father has to deal with. Now, if the stud were half the man that she thinks she is, she should have considered this scenario before the execution of this plan. Just like the man she's trying to be, she hasn't any legal foot to stand on despite her best intentions. The only solution I see is to get her feminine partner to make a living will, which allows her to take guardianship of the child in the case of an unfortunate event. Though she shouldn't consider this a total loss. She's just joined the ranks of those who've been given the middle finger by their baby mamas and the courts. Welcome to the gang, chick dude. Well, damn. Tell us how you really feel. Now, you know what, though? I never actually looked at it that way. I mean, I'm just really of the line of thinking that anytime you have to lay down an ultimatum like that, then your relationship isn't as strong as it should be. And I think for the most part, their lack of having an understanding before they took on this endeavor wasn't exactly the brightest thing to do. I do agree with you right there. And even though some of us may not agree with how these women are choosing to live their lives, it is, of course, their lives, and they have to live with the decisions that they make. In this situation, unfortunately, it's just a flat-out cause for a headache. Oh, and you know what? The last I heard, the pregnant sister still isn't giving that baby her girlfriend's last name, though. Thanks for the email, though, fam, and I look forward to hearing from you guys real soon. Oh, I got another email here, and this was also from the guys over at Regular Cat Radio about my special edition Father's Day episode, and it was a link to a story about Hallmark using their mahogany line of greeting cards, the ones geared towards African Americans, and pushing a line of Father's Day cards to single black mothers. Really interesting article, and I'll provide the link to you guys in the show notes so that you can check it out for yourself. Thanks again, fam. Now, my girl Matoya, she left me a message about my Father's Day podcast. Let's see what she had to say. Funny you put this out here today, because I've been telling people all day that I'm not a man, so please keep your Father's Day wishes for them real men that's doing their jobs. Now, I have to admit, I'm one of those women that posted Happy Father's Day to all the men that spend time with their kids, but I did it for a reason. I'm tired of a few of my people that get together with their chest poked out, walking around all extra proud today, when in fact, they don't do their part, like even picking up the phone, my dad included. It's only one of me, and I'm sure he's out there taking credit for something he chooses not to be involved in. For me, it's not a diss at the deadbeats, but a serious shout out to the ones that's holding it down and doing the best they can. I do get what you're saying, though, about just saying Happy Father's Day and leaving it there, but I'm a born asshole and will always be that. And I'm one of those rare people that put them weak-ass mothers on blast on Mommy's Day, too. For me, having babies don't make you a mother. Them hoes don't get my wishes either, and I do let them know I'm not talking to them when I'm wishing everyone else well. All right, then. Well, first of all, thanks, Matoya, you know, for reaching out and writing to the show. I do agree that it's a lot of cats out here that's not doing anything whatsoever to be acknowledged on that day, and the fact of the matter is, I just don't acknowledge those cats whose only contribution to fatherhood was the tingling feeling that he got from making that child. My vote is that we just don't acknowledge they bum asses, period. Bullshit mothers, too. I just think that as a community, as a whole, it's a whole lot more ingrained in us to give backhanded compliments on a day that's, you know, for genuine compliments and thanks for fathers that's, you know, pretty much doing what they're supposed to do. Thanks again for that email, though, fam. Now, let's see. I got some iTunes reviews, some new ones. So, let me check to see what they're saying over here. Fawn left a 5-star rating. That's what's up. And she goes on to say, you're doing an excellent job, Span. I really enjoy your podcast. Well, thank you, Fawn. You know, I really enjoy doing them, man. Like, thanks to, you know, for listening and helping spread the word with the review. You know, I really do appreciate you. Enrique also left a 5-star rating and goes on to write a review. Span is that dude. The classic shout outs are timeless. Tell a friend, tell a friend. Thanks, fam. I really do appreciate your support here, but not only here, but also at the Haterazzi Radio Show as well. Thank you for that review and that 5-star rating, fam. Y'all really do help spread the word with these reviews. And Sultry1231 left a 5-star rating and wrote a review. Hey, I came over from Haterazzi and I'm thoroughly enjoying your podcast. Keep up the good work and keep them coming. Well, thank you, Sultry. I'm working on this consistency thing, and I hope you guys, you know, I hope to bring you guys plenty more shows on a more steady basis with the slight change I'm making to the show. Thank you all for your emails, your reviews, and everything. I'm glad to see you guys reaching out. Now, of course, you too can join in on the discussion here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can always call the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's 313-288-0485, where you can leave a voice message there, and I will play those and respond to those right here on the show. Also, you can hit me up through email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com, just in case you don't want people hearing what you sound like, or if you're one of my overseas listeners and you can't make that call. You can get me at me on Twitter, too. Now, my name there is the same as it is everywhere, Mr. Span. That's MR_Span. So hit me up there so we can chop it up in between shows. Now, another way you can get at me is to leave comments on thespanreport.com. You can sign in using either your Twitter or your Facebook accounts and leave me a comment there about anything I said on the show that you wanted to sign off on. And, you know, matter of fact, you know, your boy Span is on Google Plus now. So you can hit me up there, too. I would love to actually be able to, like, have some video chats with some of my listeners. They say you can get up to 10 people on there at a time, so it would be cool to try to get that cracking and get you into the Span Report circle. And for those of you who haven't gotten your Google Plus invites yet, give me your email and I'll try to get you out, you know, one of those, you know, invites, because Google is still keeping a tight leash on that site right now. But that's about it, fam. I'm sorry if I sounded a bit more angry on this show than I do normally, but that's probably just, you know, a lot of built-up frustration from not being able to bring you guys a show. And I still managed to have fun today, though. And I can't wait to do it all over again, and I can't wait to hear from you guys again. So, until next time, fam. Peace.